Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen up, San Diego.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
It's the end of the workday, but Gwen and Chris is just getting started. New year, same Gwen and Chris.
Well, you don't need a shrink to tell you that this guy's a raving psycho.
With Tony Quinn Jr.
When we're talking offense and getting... Oh, man, I lost my train of thought. Never mind.
Oh, my God, I hate that.
Oh, no!
All right, just put yourself in the promos.
Good,
MLB
good
Network.
You just put me in the promo by reminding them.
And Chris Ello.
I have a better suggestion for you.
Uh-oh.
What? Scraby comes up to you at an event with a microphone.
Run.
Run!
.604 on the clock, Tony Gwynn Jr., Tom Friend, in for Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, Thomas Andrews. Before we get into the happy hour, we're already into the happy hour, but before we get going into our segments, I want to give an ear real quick to Joe out in South Bay, wants to make some comments about, you know, the passing of Kobe Bryant. Joe, the floor is yours.
Appreciate you taking my call, Tony. And you know, we talk so much about the basketball player, Kobe, that sometimes we don't get into the person, Kobe. And there's something that Kobe said that I am a real, real advocate of. And he was talking about, it was when he was talking about the process and how the process is the journey. And, you know, like the great ones in sports or the great ones in anything, they're like a diamond in the rough. They may have natural ability to do certain things, but those that are really great, they refine that diamond.
Yeah.
They work at it. That's why they were talking about his work ethic, that, you know, he was always trying to improve on something that he might need to be, that he could be a little bit better in. And this kind of relates to something, Tony, kind of close to you. I know. I remember the talks that you have about your dad right there, and how he might go 3 for 5 in a game, but he's talking about those 2 outs that he made.
Yeah.
and those people that are great, they know a 3 for 5 game, or a basketball player scored 35 points in a game, they've had a good game. But that's to the fans, they have had a good game. Right. To themselves, they look and say, how can I do things better? And I remember, you know, that your dad was one of the first people that got into the video part of baseball to study pictures on with the video and the computer and stuff, because he was refining that craft. And so I hope that people can take that thing to life, to apply to life, whatever they do, that there's a process there, that if they're willing to do the process, that they can go ahead and refine those skills of whatever they're trying to do and become better at it. And maybe they can achieve some greatness like the people I was just talking about right there. So I think that Kobe had a lot of depth to him as a person, as well as a lot of greatness to him as an athlete.
Joe, thank you for that phone call. That is spot on. Listen, I say it often, and I have this conversation with my daughters. Work on your – one of the things that separated Kobe just in life and on the court was he was adamant about working on his weaknesses. Like, he didn't want any weaknesses. That's why he was virtually unstoppable offensively, because he didn't really have one. And you could say the same thing in his life. Now, in life, takes a lot longer a lot of times to make those type of, to work on those weaknesses, because they're innate in you. You have to kind of work on it. In basketball, you can go to, you can be in the gym for a whole summer and then possibly erase those weaknesses. In life, it takes a lot longer. But you could still apply it to even his life. He just continued to try to improve as a person, as a basketball player. Just something I hope all young people are listening to. There, one of the things Joe said was, he talked about, was the journey, the process. That's something my dad focused on often, was the process. He knew what the end result could be, but he can't control the end result.
Right.
But he can control the process while he's in it. And, you know, a lot of our young people nowadays don't necessarily want to endure the process, but the process is where the beauty lies a lot of times.
Yeah, Joe said something about when your dad would make a couple outs, he'd be all ticked off. I can close my eyes and hear, I'm scuffling. And you know, he'd be 3 for 5. I'm scuffling. But he's not scuffling, but he thought he was. And that's how Kobe, Tony and your dad and Kobe were alike. And that, you know, fear of failure, fear of being mediocre, fear of just being ordinary. You know, that's why your dad came to the ballpark every day at 2 o'clock and hit and hit and hit. And that's why Kobe was in the gym when young Jason Williams is there shooting 200 shots and Kobe wants to get more shots up. Because
right. He doesn't want that kid to know.
Yeah. So that's how your dad was. So, yeah, Joe hit it spot on.
I can think of a couple of different occasions coming home hearing that Sam scuffling. What do you mean you're scuffling, man? You're hitting 330. Yeah, I'm not hitting the ball well.
But as I started
to, you know, pay more attention to baseball, I understood what he was saying. It wasn't basically he was saying it's not about the hits.
It's not hitting hard.
It's not about
hitting
the hits. It's about how I'm hitting the baseball. I feel much better about lining out to short 5 times than rolling over a ball to second and it getting through.
That's right. That's how you look at it.
Because I know at this level, eventually that won't work.
That's right.
And you know that's the kind of thing he really took to heart.
I'm coming for 0-for-4 and saying I'm hitting the ball on the screws, and that's all.
Feeling good. Scraby, you kind of want to.
Well, first I have some news on Luis Urias. You didn't think I was going to come with that name, huh?
You're a prospect hugger, so this makes sense.
Oh, I'm not a prospect hugger.
Okay.
Luis Urias is expected to miss 6 to 8 weeks after hamate bone surgery.
Ooh.
So
that's not that bad.
That just came out, but he's going to be missing some time.
You certainly don't want to start your new destination off on an injury.
No, and he needs all the reps he can get.
Is that right, prospect hugger?
Okay, so earlier today, fourth mention of the producer show on Noon to 3, Coach has been sick, or he is sick today, so Paul Reindel, Brayden Sopranet, and myself, we're going to be here for the next few days. Yes, please get better, Coach. We need you back, but... Today, something came out of the show.
I was going to say something really smart there, but I decided not to.
Okay.
I'm going to keep it to myself.
I'm going to keep it moving. Today on the show, I was the only one in the room who did not want the Padres to trade for Mookie Betts. And really, the thought process is, I don't want to give up prospects. Okay, thank you, Thomas. I don't want to give up prospects for a guy who's only going to maybe be here for 1 year and then... If they don't go to the playoffs or if they do go to the playoffs and lose in the playoffs, then Mookie Betts is off somewhere else collecting his money, like the Dodgers or something like that. So I got a tweet from someone that said, I'm a prospect hugger because I love the prospects of the Padres so much. I got another tweet.
The same thing as like a tree hugger? You're like,
exactly. And I got another tweet saying that I hate the Padres. They're convinced that I hate the Padres because I didn't want to do that. So I'm not a prospect hugger. I have no problems with giving away prospects. I just am not a guy who's willing to rent a guy for a year if they're not going to get over the top and if they're not going to win a World Series next year.
But wait a minute. We interviewed Rob Bradford, right?
We did.
And what did he say?
I don't remember.
They're more. He claims that they want starting pitching. Prospects? So maybe you're not going to have to lose. I mean, is Campuzano really that important to the Red Sox? You know, I'm just saying, maybe you got to give up Quantrill and I'd give up Quantrill and Lucchesi for him. I give up both pitchers.
You give up Quantrill and Lucchesi when the Padres right
and
now.
And Myers.
Yeah, and Myers. That was the other thing, too. Part of the deal is that they're going to take Will Myers in his contract. But if the Padres are going to have to pay 75% of Will Myers' contract, I don't think there's any point in sending him away. There were rumors earlier that they're.
No, the Padres they're willing to take maybe half of his contract.
Right. Yeah, but then. There's other rumors out there saying that the Red Sox want bigger prospects if they're going to pay for half the contract. If they don't want to give up the big prospects, they can pay. Listen, the Padres will cover 75%.
I would give them Margot. I have no problem with that one.
They gave us Margot, though. I don't know that they're going to want him back.
But he's in the conversation. He's been the names mentioned.
I think, for me, I don't think the Red Sox are still in the greatest position because they've already let it be known that they are trying to get under that luxury tax. And if that is the case, they can't keep Mookie at $27 million.
No.
And especially with as much money as they have tied up.
It sounds like they're not going to re-sign the guy, so
they're going to try to get something for him. Say the deal happens, Will Myers is moving to Boston, and the Padres are paying half of it, so $10 million each. We'll make it easy. Does his salary count towards the whole Red Sox, you know, cap?
His remaining salary goes towards the Red Sox,
even though the Padres are paying half of it.
It'd be like basically say, "All right, here's Will. Here's $10 million to go with Will. They can use that to front end, back end, of whatever part of the contract they want. But that still will be 61 minus 10, $51 million will still be remaining on that contract.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's divided over 3 years at that point. So, in terms of getting under luxury tax, that might help in years moving forward, because you've subtracted $10 million that you're paying, and that's now divided between the next 3 years. So,
I'd rather keep Naylor than Margot. You know, I like him at first base. I like your idea on that. And if they go to the DH in a couple of years,
bam, you got you.
You can't be making trades for DH possibly in a couple of years. This is what I said earlier.
Well, 2021.
Is that a done deal?
No, it's not. But there's NL execs out there that think it could be in place by 2021, which is next season. So,
bottom line is, I'm not a prospect hugger.
You sound like a prospect.
I'm okay with giving away prospects.
So, which prospect do you not want to give up? Seriously,
Mackenzie Gore.
They're not going to give up Mackenzie Gore. That's no chance of that. He's untouchable.
Mm-mm.
I don't care what anybody says. He's untouchable.
Well, we've been talking about Taylor Trammell.
I think we're talking
CJ Abrams.
Abrams.
He's not going anywhere either.
I'm going to trust the only person, the authority in my life on baseball, that would be Tony Gwynn Jr., and he says that CJ Abrams isn't untouchable.
From what I gather, he's pretty much untouchable.
He's either going to be the second baseman in a couple of years, or he's going to be the center fielder. Or he's going to be shortstop. And Fernando's going to be in center. But
they are extremely high on CJ Abrams, and rightfully so.
If you know, maybe they can't re-sign Fernando Tatis when he's a free agent. What is it, 3-4 years from now?
See, that's another thing, is you got to start saving for that too.
And I just want to mention, even though I was in the camp of let him start now, in about 2 years,
you're going to regret that.
In about 4 years, 5 years, we might feel different.
You know, if I were Fernando Tatis, and I know him a little bit, I mean, he's not going to change the way he plays. He's going to get hurt again. Somehow, some way, he's been hurt his whole life. He's been
injured. You're saying in 5 years, not...
What I'm saying is maybe he takes the deal. Maybe he doesn't try to wait.
Good point.
Until he's a free agent. Maybe he takes an extension, a long-term extension.
That's interesting.
Because, you know, his body may not hold up.
I hope he changes the way he plays in terms of just being smarter. I do, because... I haven't seen a guy yet.
But Patty keeps screaming at him, "Go get him, boy!" He's not going to change.
Go get him, boy.
All right, let's step away, take a break. When we come back, what we got when we come back, Scrape?
We're going to visit the Super Bowl and some of the opening night festivities last night in Miami.
Boom. Let's get a look at traffic with Sudi first, though. 6:22 on the dial. Tony Gwynn Jr., Tom Friend, Matt Scraby, Thomas Andrews, all here in Intercom Studios in the happy hour, talking sports, certainly talking Kobe Bryant. And I want to bring Mitch, who is on our radio.com app out in New Jersey, wanting to talk a little Kobe. Mitch, thanks for calling in, man. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Tony? Tom, thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I was never a big Kobe fan, but you got to like and respect and admire his post-playing career.
Yeah.
I think he's an inspiration, and he's a role model. And I guess he held it pretty high because he seemed like he'd be a good father, good hard worker. He didn't want to sit in his laurels, apparently. Just two things. I hope they can retire his number on 8 and 24, especially 8 on every team. And the second one, oh, Jesus, slipped my mind. The way I think, and it's like a Rolodex.
Well, that's all right.
I think that's a great point you made.
Thanks for the phone call, Mitch.
Yeah, because you know, why not? 8-24 retired from around the entire league. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it's hard to do, but it's not a bad thought.
It's not a bad thought, and I said it yesterday. For the generation that was, I don't know, maybe 45. To about 25. Kobe Bryant was that era's, that age demographic, Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
If Michael Jordan.
Generation X is Michael Jordan.
Had passed, we would be, I'm positive, 23 would be retired in most, if not all,
well, you
NBA
heard,
teams.
You heard my list. Bill Russell, Wilt, Kareem, Irving, Magic Bird, MJ, Kobe, and LeBron. The faces of the league in their era, every one of those guys is living, yeah, except for Kobe.
That is, oh my gosh. That,
you know, and the thing is that Magic, you know, we thought we lost him. You know, I was at that press conference in 1991. I remember John Black, the PR guy of the Lakers at the time, called me and said, "You've got to come. I can't tell you what this is about, but you've got to be here."
Yeah.
And, you know, him living and prospering and being everything he is today is a gift. We got him back, and that's what I was thinking today. You know, Kobe, you're never going to get him back. You know, and so, yeah, if you retire his numbers, why not?
Yeah.
You know, the other thing I was going to say, excuse me, Tony, but, you know, Tracy McGrady said something today yesterday that he thought that Kobe told him he thought he was going to die young. And he wanted to
be immortalized.
Wanted to be immortalized. It's strange. You know,
that was Kobe before family,
right,
and kids. This is
before
when they were,
family and kids, exactly.
This was when they were 17,
but even,
18.
Even like I told the story yesterday about when he was driving his motorcycle up from Orange County to the games back when he was going through a lot of problems back then. You know, he just was just driving in and out of lanes and driving 85 miles an hour on the 405. And, you know, that's dangerous. And he was kind of tempting fate then. But he outgrew that.
He
right?
did.
Yeah.
He clearly matured into the man that we got to see glimpses of after his career. Right. And that was something that, I mean, watching Tracy talk about it, probably Kobe Bryant's closest friend, it seems like.
Another guy straight out of high school.
I mean, Tracy credited Kobe for just being able to stay in the league his first year. He said he was calling Kobe pretty much every other day to get advice because Kobe had gone through it the year before, not playing, and was kind of still going through it in year
Tracy
two.
Tracy McGrady started out very rocky.
Very rocky.
He wasn't very good.
He wasn't getting any run.
And he wasn't like that highly touted. He was touted, but not like Kobe was when he came out of high school.
Yeah, so to hear Tracy speak about it, when he said that, my jaw almost hit the ground.
We actually have the audio if you want to
hear
it.
Let's play it.
Sorry, Thomas, I just threw you under the bus. So
I went on, played for the Magic. He was playing for the Lakers and playing for championships. And me over here, I'm competing, trying to win scoring titles because I'm not competing for championships. And our relationship kind of got lost because of his mindset and what he was trying to accomplish. And I was over here. And we go and play, you know, our careers, and here we are. We have kids, and we're reunited, you know, through AU basketball because of our kids. We're coaching our kids, and, you know, that connection, just reconnecting with him and bringing back those old memories, going out to watch his kids practice, you know, and haven't... Playing these games and him watching my kids play was like the greatest thing. And I'll sit there and watch Gigi, and before the game, I'll go up and I'll give Gigi a hug and tell her, you know, to go out there and kill. And she's like, "Don't worry about that, Uncle Mac. I got this." And she was special, man. She was special. She was built like Kobe. Her mannerism, everything. I mean, just to watch her play, it was like watching a young Kobe. The move, she had a fadeaway at 13 years old. I'm watching this girl, and it just looks like her dad out there. I'm like, damn, she's going to be special. And she's not going to get that opportunity. He's not going to get that chance for her to carry on that legacy. And I was out the last tournament. I sat and I talked to Vanessa and the other three girls for like 20 minutes watching Gigi play. And my heart just goes out to Vanessa and those girls and Pam and Joe, Shea and Sharia. I mean, this is hard, man. This is hard.
Repeat their names again. Kobe Bryant, obviously Gianna, Bryant, John Altabella, Carrie Altabella, Elise Altabella, Sarah Chester, Peyton Chester, Christina Mauser, and Aria Zabayan all perished in that helicopter crash. And a lot of people don't know, I didn't know, that, you know, Tracy and Kobe go back to even before the NBA. They were, Tracy was staying at their house. He was telling stories about them watching Kung Fu movies together. And so, you know, there are ties that run deeper. We see the finished product of Kobe Bryant. We see the toughness of him, but clearly there was another side of him away from basketball that we'll never get a chance to be fully immersed in like we were in his basketball
career. You know, my great uncle, he's an abbot in the church, and whether you're religious or not, it doesn't matter for this particular story that I'm about to tell. But after some of the bad things that happened in this world when I was a little bit younger, it was right after 9/11, and I asked my uncle, I said, why these people? Why, you know, it hurt all of us, as we all know, but I asked, why these people? And he just kind of told me, it's because there's a bigger plan for them. And just because they're gone now doesn't mean that they're whatever they were put on this earth to do may not be done during their life, but it could be done after their life.
It's a great point.
That's what we're going with right here is, you know, that
because
we'll
a lot of times we get stuck on the pain that we feel when somebody leaves us early, and there is a bigger plan a lot of times, and it's impossible to see it right now.
Well, you know, think about Len Bias dying. When Len Bias died, the benefit that came out of that, it's the awareness on cocaine. People just weren't doing what they were doing before after that. And with Kobe, you know, maybe the message is going to be women's sports and fathers and daughters. And there's other things that can be, lessons can be learned here.
There's not a man.
By the way, I got to correct my own thing. I said Wilt was still alive. Wilt's not alive. When Wilt died, Wilt died suddenly, and that was sad.
Yeah.
But this is the tragedy of it.
I'll tell you, man, I lost my train of thought.
We talk about daughters and
that's what I was going to say. There's not a man out there that has a daughter that over the last 48 hours isn't looking at them differently than they were looking at them before.
Oh, absolutely. My daughter went to bed last night. I gave her, the hug was different, you know, and I'm sure it's the same way with you. So like you said, you know, Matt, there is something to be learned. What that is going to be, why he died, way he died, what that message is going to be, we don't know yet, but first thing I think of is that.
Yeah, you're right. At the end of the day, whether you're religious or not, there is a bigger plan at the end of the day.
Tony, since you missed the Kobe Bryant thing, NBA TV will re-air the NBA on TNT Kobe Bryant tribute at 1 a.m. Eastern tonight and tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern.
Great. Thanks.
Perfect.
For that.
Thank you for letting me know. All right.
Good job, Thomas.
We'll step away, take a break when we come back. Scraby, what do you got for us?
I think we should, unfortunately, we had Mitch Holtis on, the Chiefs play-by-play man, and he said a lot of things in his interview that scared me.
He said unfortunately because he's a 49er fan.
But fortunately we did because he was great. But I think we should replay a little bit of that. He's in Miami. He had good insight, and we should do that.
Don't be scared.
I'm scared.
Don't be scared.
I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it.
Have you seen your defense?
Yes, I have.
Pretty good.
Have you seen Patrick Mahomes?
I've seen your defense.
Gwen and Chris said it was number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. .637 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Tom Friend, in for Chris Ello. We're going to play a piece of work we did earlier today with Mitch Holtis of the play-by-play guy for the Kansas City Chiefs. But before we get into that, we need to check traffic with Sue D.
Guys, CHP is with an accident that just happened. Southbound 5 north of the 163. They're tying up the slow lane. Got another one on northbound 5 just south of the 56 in Carmel Valley. CHP just cleared a wreck on eastbound 8 at the 125. Now you got another one on the westbound side, the transition to the 125. Looks like on southbound 805, you still got bumper to bumper ahead from Sereno Valley down to the 15. Then in the South Bay, just looks like around an E Street exit, looks like there's a stall sitting in the fast lane. The doors are open, but no one's around. That's a little weird. Sue DeVincent with Quinn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
Joining us on the SDCC.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy.
Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You fan hotline is Mitch Holtis, play-by-play of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, thank you for coming back on and visiting with us. It's such a busy week for you.
Yeah, it's exciting. The Chiefs kingdom is electric, and Miami's crazy. Yeah, it should be a heck of a game.
Now, you guys have been there for a few days. What's the Super Bowl experience been like thus far?
I'm not sure there's a word to describe it. I don't know what last night was. The NFL does it's like a mosh pit. It's like guys show up. There's 6,000 credentialed media. But it feels like not like a media night. It was I have no idea what that was, but like, what did we just do for the last 5.5 hours?
So there was no media. So the media day, does it cease to exist?
Well, that's it. I mean, it's that it is kind of a opening night. They introduced the teams, and it was in Marlins Park, so it's big crowd, but then
they outdrew the Marlins.
They did. Yeah, that's not hard to do. Anyway, it was just kind of interesting and strange. They're trying to do like four things at once. It's like, is this Oscars night?
Right.
So, yeah, and then, of course, then there's Radio Row, and today at our, we're 40-some minutes north of downtown Miami, Miami Beach.
There's
another couple hundred. Yeah, it's real spread out. But, yeah it's been wild so far. But I'm going to tell you, this team, this Chiefs team is hyper-focused. And I mean, they're as focused as your dad. This is a team that is, really the focus started in the summertime, but they played through all kinds of adversity San Francisco is really good. It'll be a heck of a game, but don't worry about the Chiefs losing focus here.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that a little, because obviously this is a big game for head coach Andy Reid. Been one of the brightest minds offensively in football, at least as long as I've been alive. Talk a little bit about what winning a Super Bowl would mean for a guy like Andy Reid.
It's a phenomenal question. I think he's going to the Hall of Fame anyway.
Right.
Marv Levy made it and didn't win a Super Bowl. He had those four runner-ups in a row, which is cruel. But Andy Reid, if he wins it, it will be his last box to check. And honestly, his career is going to open up. All of the narratives of he can't win the big one or time management or blah, blah, blah. You're going to start to see documentaries or NFL Network series on his influence on the game. What Andy Reid has done as good as anybody. Now, Patrick Mahomes has helped this, but I've seen it in the 7 years he's been the Chiefs head coach, is he's been one of the best, if not the best, of integrating what the college game is giving to the NFL and bringing the NFL-ness, you will, to the college game. He makes this blend. Like, Cliff Kingsbury's going to figure this out at Arizona. Like, you can't run those protections in the NFL, or Kyler Murray will not make it to his third year. So it's Andy Reid, but Andy Reid is never stuck in his ways. He's not some 20-year coach. It's like, we're going to run this, and you're going to deal with it. He's always developing, changing, and Mahomes has helped that. But if he wins a Super Bowl, you'll just put the gold jacket on him after he gets tossed with champagne.
Mm. Well, let me ask you, in that case, are the players, you're going to be motivated to win a Super Bowl. You don't need a coach, history to get you motivated. But at the same time, are these players, let's win it for Andy? Are you getting that feeling?
Yeah, that's another great question. And yes, they are that way. It's almost the feeling, and all of the Chiefs kingdom feels like this, like Coach Reid got us here. We now need to take him to this point. And this team definitely feels that way. And I think that's a strong motivator. And again, that's part of the focus. I mean,
exactly.
They were an offsides away from doing this last year. And so that just carried over into the offseason. But then they love this dude. And I mean, he's tough, but he gets the human spirit. He will, if he wins it, you're going to start to see talk of he's one of the greatest coaches of any of the major sports of all time because of his ability to relate and why guys love to play for him.
He's got a little bit of Coach O in him, doesn't he? A little bit.
Yeah, very much.
The voice, everything. Yeah.
Mitch Holtz is Chiefs play-by-play man on the line with us on the SDCCU fan hotline. And Mitch, you brought up being an offsides away from the Super Bowl last year, and it brings me to Frank Clark, who was very critical of Dee Ford. I haven't heard a lot about Frank Clark. Clearly, he's a tremendous pass rusher. What has he done for this defense this year?
He has just turned the notch up a little higher on the thermostat. Mm. He has done not only rush the passer, where he's underrated, you guys, his ability to hold the edge on the run and gap protect and play the run. I mean, we played in the playoffs two outstanding running teams, including the NFL's best rusher in Derrick Henry. A big part of shutting Henry down, he had 1 yard in the second half, was Frank Clark. Mm. I think he's underrated as an overall defender. He can play physical, and if he stays disciplined early in the year, there's a couple times we played Baltimore and Lamar Jackson got out the gate, but he has been much more disciplined in the scheme, and he's just got an edge to him. You want him on your side. You don't want to be across from him. And he'd like to beat the 49ers. I mean, he's a Seahawk. He used to be a Seahawk. So he has brought an edge. So has Terrell Suggs. Getting Terrell Suggs late is almost like when the Royals won it at 15 and they picked up Ben Zobrist in the last 5 weeks of the season. It's like that late pickup you get in September in baseball, and that's just what you need to get over the hump. And T. Sizzle's been gigantic for this defense.
Yeah, how did Andy convince him? Because first he wanted to play for the Ravens, obviously, T. Sizzle. Was Andy the one who just convinced him, hey, listen, this is the place you need to be? How'd that go down?
Andy and the rest, I mean, there's guys on this team that he respects, Frank, Tyrann Mathieu, and Anthony Hitchens. So it was a little bit of like SDSU trying to get a big recruit, and your best recruits are the guys on your campus.
Yeah.
And saying, no, dude, we're veterans. You've got to understand what this place is like. I saw him the other day. I saw T. Sizzle the other day in the hallway before we left, and it was like, man, this is awesome. And he goes, you know what? It is awesome. He goes, I had no idea how great this place was. The guys told me. He goes, I cannot be happier here. He goes, it's almost like I'm in heaven. So he is really happy to be a Chief.
I got to ask you, I went to Mizzou. I worked in Kansas City back in the 80s, so I know Kansas City.
Yeah.
And I remember George Brett, how much he owned that town when I was there. How much is Patrick Mahomes, what kind of inroads he made in the culture of Kansas City in just 2 years as a starter? Has he reached, maybe not Brett level, but I mean, he's got to be huge in that town.
He's soared past Brett level. Now, I love George. George is a good friend. But, guys, just take a breath here about this discussion because it's another – you guys are on fire with these questions. Patrick Mahomes – now, hear me out here. Patrick Mahomes transcends Kansas City, Chiefs Kingdom. Do you guys realize he is close? He already is in some aspects like this worldwide figure. The Chiefs and our social and digital platforms, it has grown 100% in the last 9 months, and most of the growth has been internationally.
Yeah.
There's something about him. He's Tiger Woods in the 90s.
He's Steph Curry in cleats, man.
He's Seth Curry. And they laughed at me. I was on a show like this in NoCal, and this is a year ago. This is before he throws for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. And they go, well, how is this kid? What is this kid? And I said, I've watched him for a year. I've watched his apprentice year with Alex Smith. By the way, please ask me that question soon.
I will.
Because I'm going to answer it on your air. Okay? It hits your target zone. But I said, he's Seth Curry. I could hear all the laughing, right? The producers and the ha, 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 ha. A year later, they had me. They go, my God, he's Seth Curry.
Yeah.
I mean, he's Seth Curry. But his appeal, and it's been crazy. I mean, he's endorsed in everything nationally. The Chinese want him to appear. I'm not making this up. Like, Western Europe loves him. and the Chinese want him to come there. I mean, it's really interesting how this kid's handled it. But he's larger than life. And you lived in Kansas City, so it's Tom Watson, yep. or George Brett.
Yep. Yeah.
No. He's his own Mount Rushmore, but he's in a whole other mountain.
Well, I got a buddy who runs a jewelry store down in Kansas City, down the plaza, and Mahomes did. His daughter was getting married, and Mahomes like gave a message for him. He was in the jewelry store. He said, "Hey, you know, good luck in your wedding and all that." That's how down to earth Patrick. You know, he is really, really a special kid. This doesn't come along.
That's the other side of him. Now we'll see how this goes, because he is going to be. He's become the face of the NFL. He's like the new. You know, we talk about Lamar Jackson and these new quarterbacks and Deshaun Watson. If Mahomes wins this game, and even if he doesn't, he's going to be one of those guys. If he wins this game, he will be the face of this league.
Yeah.
And this league wants to grow internationally. And now they go, well, this is a guy that has appeal internationally. So, but he's still the Tyler, Texas White House kid who's very grounded, who played college ball in West Texas at Texas Tech. Yeah. He could be on your show or sit there, or we could go to Petco with him to a Padres game, and you're going to have the ball with him because he's just a dude. Well, and our guys love him. I mean, he's doing all these endorsements, and he's getting all this love, and our guys, there's no jealousy about him. He's really got the personality of – I mean, he's a Tony Gwynn personality, but he's larger in life, dude.
Yeah. I mean, you can see it. Mitch, talk to me about that apprentice year with San Diego and Alex Smith as the starter. What was that? I assume that's difficult because he seems like he's a competitor, really, when it gets boiled down to. But how did he handle that apprentice year?
Okay, one of the storylines that has bubbled out of the last 48 hours here in Miami has been that, and I could not be more thrilled, because it's an easily passed over drive story. And here's where San Diego needs to be proud of one of its native sons. You know, I used to call him, I called him Helix. That was my nickname for him. You know, the Helix Highlander. Alex Smith, and there will be stories on this, I hope, as Patrick's career grows. Alex Smith had the humility and the security in who he was as a person and as an athlete to basically say, I'm willing to teach Patrick Mahomes. I also think Alex saw the unique ability in Patrick. Mm. Alex is a super smart dude, right?
One of the top.
Yeah, he could have gone to Oxford. All right. He's a great guy, a great guy. I love him and Elizabeth. But he also saw that Patrick was as smart. So they could sit there and talk Calc 3 and algorithms and football algorithms. Mm. And Patrick was humble enough. It's what you guys just brought up. Patrick was humble enough to not think, I'm going to put up a billboard, I should be starting. Now, this is also where it gets close to home, but not as positive, in that you look at all of, now it's coming out from the mid-2000s. What happened with Breeze and Rivers and all that? Did that kind of fracture the Chargers then? I don't know. It kind of sounds like it. Like, who are you for here? Or the Packers with Aaron Rodgers and Favre. That wasn't great. There's been some other
49ers with Young
like
in Montana.
It. Young, perfect. That might be the best example, because we got the residual of that, because we got Joe at the end of his career and played the 49ers, and he was like, ooh, water, gas, and oil here.
Right.
But Alex is a special dude, and Patrick is a special cat. And for those guys to put that relationship together, and then you throw in Andy Reid, people in the NFL are trying to duplicate it. That now has become, hey, we're going to draft the young guy and set him and bring in the veteran to train him. Oh. I think it's easier said than done, because unless they find Alex Smith, they may not do it.
I mean, Alex Smith, he's going to do the same thing with Dwayne Haskins right now.
Yeah, you got it, Dwayne Haskins. Alex Smith will be on the Chiefs Ring of Honor at Arrowhead Stadium. In 5 years, he won 50 games and the first postseason victory in 22 seasons.
Yeah.
That's enough to get him on that Ring of Honor. But when he goes up there, his story of working with Patrick will be a huge part of this whole discussion.
I'm glad that you brought that up, Mitch, because those type of stories do get overlooked. Our eyes are focused on the shiny object, which is Patrick Mahomes, but there was a guy that helped grow Patrick Mahomes to where he is, and it's nice that Patrick recognizes that. Mitch, have fun down in Miami the rest of the week, man. Don't let the activities get you too down over there, huh?
I will not. Now, the other thing I would tell you, though, is we got a Miramesa Marauder on this team.
You do.
Because Damian Williams has been fantastic. And we bring a little San Diego flavor. The other thing is a lot of folks in San Diego said we don't like the Raiders and we don't like the Donkeys. We didn't hate the Chiefs. We just like to beat them. But you know what? We kind of like the Chiefs now.
I think there are a lot of San Diegans rooting for you guys this week.
They ain't rooting for San Francisco, are they?
Yeah, well, they ain't for NoCal. So I'm just saying, some of my Padres brethren, you guys know how big a Padres fan our family is. Like, we're with you. I've got texts, and it's like, it's kind of fun. But our Miramesa Marauder, who's got 9 playoff touchdowns for us in 2 years, we're going to try to get him into the end zone.
That would be lovely, because I think that would go a long way, because Patrick Mahomes, I think, is going to have a good day in his Super Bowl. Mitch, thanks for coming on, as always. Hopefully we can catch up again after you guys maybe are hosting up that Super Bowl championship.
And I'll see you at Petco. God bless you guys.
Enjoy it, man.
Mitch, that was Mitch Holtis, play-by-play guy of the Chiefs on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU for you or visit SDCCU.com. We got a few minutes left, and I'm contemplating whether I want to tell you guys this, because nobody in this room believes it to be true, but Hank Bushman, I don't know if you guys follow Bushman Hank.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
He's an avid fisherman and biker, part-time MLB scout.
Oh, there's his connection.
For who?
He doesn't say who, just MLB scout for the whole league.
for everybody.
Free agency analyst, hashtag Reds killing bookmakers since 82. $5 parlay member. 4-time Metro Softball Division A champion.
Oh, there's our connection.
Wow. According to his sources.
He may be. Who knows?
Padres organization has reportedly landed Mookie Betts. Now, I don't think any of us believe it to be true, but stranger things have happened.
That is true.
Well, now, John Heyman, who we do trust, has nothing like that on his Twitter feed, but he did say 2 hours ago, or 4 hours ago, that the Red Sox seem more serious than ever about dealing Betts. So we'll see.
CBS said the Reds have moved closer to moving.
The Red Sox.
It does seem like there's some
momentum
going here. Don't quite think the trade is in order yet.
Because
at this point, I feel like we would have definitely had our phones buzzing at this.
Hank
point.
Said it was for three minor leaguers.
Just three minor leaguers
and some cash consideration.
Well, what three minor?
Was that his minor league softball team?
Ooh.
I don't want to criticize because maybe he ends up being right.
He might be right.
I
just had to make sure there was some context behind who Hank Bushman was.
He's right, please tweet at OddThomas71 because he was the one who didn't believe in Hank Bushman.
No, none of us believe it. Let's be clear.
Well, you're going to have him on the show if he's right?
No, he won't come on after we just badmouthed him. there was another Twitter account that we didn't believe who called Manny Machado signing with the Padres.
And that is why I am bringing it up, honestly, is because that guy looked like a genius and we looked like the dopes that decided not to believe him.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what?
I told you guys yesterday, I feel like, especially after Marte goes to the Diamondbacks.
Why is it? Go ahead.
Because the window to win the wild card, that bleeds into your chance to win a division later on down
the line. But the Padres, guys, the Padres. Every time there's a big name available, the Padres get their name. It's like they're linked to them. Bryce Harper for a while, Padres.
By the way.
Manny Machado, Padres. Now Mookie Betts. What universe are we living
in? That's a new thing for us.
Little San Diego.
That's why. That's why I poo-pooed it. The Machado deal when it happened. All right, we got to get going. We'll see you guys out tomorrow. Tom Friend will be back with me. You guys have a good night. Peace.
Take care, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.